the Lily White Spotlight feature, and we're heading to the villages of Johnstown and Kill this morning. And on the line is local historian and Johnstown resident for the last 43 years, Brian McCabe. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Owen.
You moved to Johnstown back in 1980, moved down from Cavan into Johnstown. What can you tell us about what the village was like when you moved there and kind of how it's changed over the last few years, Brian?
Right, well, when we came here first, it was a very small, truly a village. You just had the old village along what had been the main road and a few new houses, 13 or 14 new houses round the side that we always refer to as the bungalows. So that was Johnstown when we came here first. There was a shop in the village at one end of the village, and the Johnstown Inn, which was then the Oster John Devoy at the other end. So that was it in 1980-81. And since then, it's grown phenomenally. In fact, when we came here first, the population, we did a tot, I think, at the time, and it was maybe just about 100 people. The last census shows over 1,000 people in Johnstown. So it has grown and expanded enormously in that 40 years.
Absolutely. I'm sure one of the reasons, Brian, definitely would be the N7, the dual carriageway being built along Johnstown and Kill. It makes those villages a lot more accessible now than maybe they were previously.
Indeed, yes, yeah, and of course a lot of people, you know, would have moved from other parts of the country, like us, either working locally here or working in Dublin. I suppose it's probably fair to say that over the years, Johnstown really became, and Kill as well too, became commuter villages or commuter towns, as there would be now.
And there's so much else happening within the village. Even I think of the Curtistown Park that's being built just across the motorway. Also, you know, out in the townlands of Furness, etc. People have moved and kind of, you have that sprawl out into the townlands.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, as I say, it's grown enormously. I think we've in the last 10 years or so, we've had 5 new housing estates built here in Johnstown, 3 of them in the last 2 years. You know, so the population is growing very rapidly. And, you know, it's fair to say that's probably causing strains on the infrastructure. Again, like a lot of other towns and villages in this part of North Kildare. It's the price one pays for being close to the capital, I suppose.
Indeed, but still has that village feel, Johnstown does, Brian. And, you know, the Johnstown Garden Centre, a huge employer in the area. The Johnstown Inn, still there at the top of the village. You still have the shop there, the Chinese. But even though it is growing, I'm sure there is that feeling still of the village at the heart of it.
Ah, there is. There is indeed, yeah. There's just quite a good community spirit. You know, over the years, as the new housing estates came along, you know, they've been incorporated into the great community spirit that was here in Johnstown. I mean, I should probably point out, you know, in view of our neighbours in Kill, that Johnstown won the very first county award introduced by Kildare County Council in the Tidy Towns competition, and they went on to win it for the following 4 years. Of course, these days, Kill managed to best us. But there's still a strong community spirit here in Johnstown. And we, around the turn of the millennium, we sort of combined the different residents' associations, and we set up Johnstown Community Association, which is a sort of an umbrella body which draws together everybody from all the new and old houses, and represents the views of the residents of Johnstown, and also organises various events, you know, like fun days. We have a fun day once a year for the kids, things like the Tidy Towns, the website and so on. And, of course, our glorious Christmas lights around Christmas time, when, as you probably know, Owen, you know, half of County Kildare comes to look at Johnstown to see how to do Christmas lights properly.
They're absolutely fantastic, and a credit to the volunteers and the community there in the village. And you were on with us last year or the year before, Brian, when we did our virtual history tour around the county. We're pointing out some of those big stately houses that are just off the N7 as well, the likes of Palmerstown House, Curtistown House. We've spoken about the Pickled Earl before, an area with a lot of historical significance.
It is indeed, yes. There's plenty of historical interest, both Johnstown and Kill and this whole area. you know, we know there's been settlement here since at least the Stone Age. So the history of Kill and Johnstown goes right back. There have always been people living here and have been villages here going right back in time. The big houses are interesting, all right. There's quite a few of them, as you see, in the locality. Rather unusual to have so many of them relatively close to each other. Normally you got those big houses spaced out across the country. But again, I think it may go back to particularly the 18th century when a lot of these guys were members of Parliament, Grattan's Parliament in Dublin. So I think it was handy for them to have a big house here, you know, within a day's ride of Dublin. So that may be the explanation for that.
Okay, if we drive on then from Johnstown, head down past Green Hills, which of course is the home place of John Devoy, and we come in then to the village of Kill, and this is another area that really has sprung up over the last number of years. What can you tell us about Kill?
Kill has expanded even more rapidly, I think, than Johnstown, and their population has ballooned as well too. A number of businesses have grown up around Kill. They've also got their new school, of course, state-of-the-art primary school on the side of Kill Hill there. Everybody who sees it assumes it's a secondary school. It isn't. It's just a primary school. We probably need a secondary school at this stage for this area. But Kill has definitely grown exponentially in the last while.
One of the buildings, though, that has gone from Kill and was a huge loss to the area was the Ambassador, Brian. And I'm sure when you came down from Cavan, you would have had a great night in the Ambassador Hotel. A lot of people would have in the wider Naas area. What can you tell us about, you know, maybe memories that you have from the Ambassador?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was the centre of social activity around Kill when we came here first. As you say, many a good night was had down there. We, being parents with young children, didn't so much sample the nightlife, although we heard all about it. But one of my memories is of bringing the kids down to a Bosco show on a Sunday afternoon down in Kill. I think Bosco was doing a nationwide tour at the time, and the Ambassador in Kill was one of the spots en route. So they enjoyed that. I think they still have souvenirs of it somewhere.
Very good, very good. I think in terms of local sport then, Brian, Johnstown might have had a soccer team at one stage, but the local GAA club, of course, is Kill, and that's just behind the where the old Ambassador used to be. A lot of people who lived in Johnstown and the surrounding areas would have went and played GAA for Kill, and that really is at the heart of the community as well.
It is indeed, yes, absolutely. The Gaelic football team in Kill has a long history, you know, going right back to the early 1900s. But yeah, it's you know, it would be where traditionally people from Johnstown, youngsters in Johnstown, would have gone. Unfortunately, we don't have our own football field or anything like that in Johnstown. Probably need one at this stage with the amount of youngsters. But for the moment, no, the Kill GAA. And again, the numbers there have rocketed in recent years.
Yes, some of the historical buildings then in Kill, Brian, I'm thinking most notably the churches there, which are located more or less across the road from each other. And you have the old house pub as well, which I think date back to the 1700s.
That's right, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there seems to have been two pubs in Kill going right back through time, the Dewdrop and the Old House. Certainly the Old House is there a long, long time. We did a bit on the history of that, and indeed the history of Kill in a book which we published last year in the Kill History Group, which we called The History of Kill. So we delved into the history of all the various organisations, and there have been many organisations over the years in Kill.
I just see a message actually has come in here, Brian, regarding Iris Kellett's, the equestrian centre there, which obviously has been in the news for different reasons over the last year or so, but that would have been a huge employer there out in the Hartwell area of Kill. Iris Kellett's, a lot of people maybe remember that and would have worked out there.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah, very famous show jumping lady in her day, moved her business out of Dublin to Kill, and as you say, it became very much the centre of the whole show jumping scene. And she was, of course, succeeded by Betty Fahey there, who continued that tradition of equine activity. That, of course, then also fed into the whole Kill Gymkhana, which was the big local event back in the 1950s and 60s. They got, I think, all the big names, all the big show jumping names down there, and it was a huge, huge success financially and otherwise at the time.
And obviously, of course, Goff's then across the road, which keeps in keeping with the thoroughbred industry around the area.
Indeed, absolutely, yeah, very much so. Goff's, of course, also famous for some snooker tournaments in the 1980s and 1990s with Hurricane Higgins and Dennis Taylor and all the big names there. So, yeah, Goff's very much part of the whole history of Kill. Yeah.
Just before I let you go then, Brian, I have to mention the music within Kill and the fantastic festival that's been organised recently for Liam O'Flynn. Of course, a native of the area, I think, as well, of Heidi Talbot, who's been very popular down through the years too. But traditional Irish music is very popular there.
Indeed, yes. Again, there's a long tradition of music and people making music in Kill, as you say, traditional music through, I think it was actually Liam O'Flynn's father, Master O'Flynn, who was the school teacher in Kill, who was very interested in Irish music and encouraged Liam Og. With the results that we've all seen. And I suppose I should get a plug in as well too for the Kill Musical and Dramatic Society, which draws from both Kill and Johnstown, and we regularly put on shows, pantomimes, one-act plays, three-act plays. So a very vibrant music and drama scene centred in Kill and Johnstown. We've just finished doing Oliver, and we will probably now be looking at putting on a play or perhaps a series of plays. And there's a hint of a panto maybe coming up before the end of the year as well too. Can I just avail of the opportunity to send out a call? As I say, we did a book on the history of Kill last year. This year, we're doing one on the history of Johnstown. And rather unusually, normally people are looking for old photos. In this case, I'm looking for some newer photos, particularly from some of the people in the new housing estates. You know, things like residence associations, dinner dances, functions of various sorts, because I want the book to kind of come right up to date and capture more recent history in Johnstown. So if anyone has anything like that, you have my contact number, Owen, or they can drop them into me here in Ivy Cottage in the middle of the village.
Brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. And I'm sure we'll chat to you again, Brian, when you're working on that book and bringing it out as well in relation to Johnstown. But that's our whistle stop tour of Kill and Johnstown from local historian Brian McCabe, who moved to the area back in 1980. So 43 years living in Johnstown and Kill. The area has changed, as we heard, so much since he came to the area first. Thanks for that, Brian, and a very good morning to you.
Thank you, Owen. Thanks very much.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, now, a public meeting was held in Freels in Strafan last night, organised by concerned parents and residents who are calling for a better bus service for students from Rathcoffey and Strafan travelling to the Maynooth Education Campus. Around 80 people were in attendance last night expressing their views. Also in attendance were TDs, senators and councillors, including James Lawless, Bernard Durkin, Catherine Murphy, Rhada Cronin, Vincent P. Martin, Nisha O'Carroll, Tim Durkin, Peter Hamilton, Padraic McAvoy, Dara Fitzpatrick and Aidan Farrelly. Shortly we'll hear from Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless, but first here are the views of three parents.
Well, the problem is that we have a single bus servicing both Strafan and Rathcoffey to go into Maynooth Education Campus, and there are not enough seats on the bus. So we need, and there is more than enough demand to justify two separate buses, one from Strafan and one from Rathcoffey. And that demand is only growing all the time. We've got a growing population in Strafan and Rathcoffey. We've got lots of kids now in Strafan and Rathcoffey that have accepted places in Maynooth Education Campus next year. So this problem is only going to escalate come September. We also have a problem in that most of us in Strafan and Maynooth aren't deemed eligible for school bus transfer to Maynooth. So we're dealing with an out-of-date policy on top of, as well, not having an adequate bus service.
Okay. Anne-Marie, you spoke to us, as I say, on Monday, and you were mentioning the issue that Bus Éireann are saying that your nearest school is Clane. Mm. So in terms of eligibility criteria, you're kind of being shunned when it comes to the Maynooth campus.
Yeah, they're saying that we're basically all concessionary, so it's lottery-based, but there's no point in them telling us that Clane is our closest school. If we can't attend it, it's oversubscribed. Our children can't go to school there, so we need the criteria changed. It should be demand-led, and where our children are all going to school is Maynooth. We estimate 130 students from September looking for these tickets, and it needs to be... The policies need to align so that these children will get tickets and won't be left behind again.
So there's 28 this year that didn't get tickets, or this school term. As you say, that is going to grow next year. The demand is outweighing the supply.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the current bus service stays as it is, then there could be 50, 55 children next year with no bus tickets from Strafford and
Maynooth. That's a lot of cars on the road.
You're talking probably 40% of people that will apply will not be able to get bus tickets for next year.
Yeah. Public transport's also an issue, to bring yourself in on this. Public transport, I was surprised when I spoke to Anne-Marie on Monday that there is no public transport from Strafford to Maynooth, even though it's only one village over. Rathcoffey is in a similar situation.
Yeah, we have the 139 bus, which is a great service, but it leaves just after 7 o'clock in the morning, and then it leaves again at just after 9, which is no good for school-going children. And plus, too, it only brings the bus into the town. They still have to make their way up to the Moyglare Road. And I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old, and it's maybe the 16-year-old, you might, if the times were right, yeah, no problem, but a 12-year-old is just a bit too frightening for them to be on public transport, especially when sometimes the older sister might be have work experience day or might be in different hours. 12-year-old on a public transport by herself. But even that, we don't even have the option. We have no choice. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. You can't have them roaming around for an hour and a half in the morning time before they start school. And plus the times picking them up is too late. Once again, they'd be hanging around the town for an hour or so. So if that was expanded on, sure, yes. And believe I was talking to people here tonight. There's a turning road at the top of the Maynooth Education Campus. So the 139 could be extended, if possible, to turn around and to cater for it. But we need to expand the bus time, so maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. But at the moment, it's no good.
You mentioned during the meeting tonight, and you mentioned there now, you've a 16-year-old, you've a 12-year-old, and you've a 7-year-old. So you've been down this road before. It's not a new issue. But there's only so many times you can raise it.
And we just can't go down this every year. It's too time-consuming and it's stressful. As Michelle pointed out, the divorce levels could go up, skyrocket between Strafford and Rathcoffey. And we have to change it. It's the same thing every year. The bus system was crumbling at the seams, but now Norma Foley's bright idea of the free transport scheme, as I said, put zero value on a very valuable service.
Michelle, in terms of solutions, what do you think can be done?
It's very possible to get a second bus on this route. Bartons have the capacity. It wouldn't cost that amount much extra. I mean, it's pretty logical. Get a second bus on the service and keep it operating. I think really immediate reform of the eligibility criteria and the school transport policy is needed. It's not enough to say the review is still ongoing 2.5 years later. It needs reform now. We all fed into a survey, I think back in 2020, on this, and to listen to parents' voices in terms of feeding into this review. But again, those voices, so I don't know where they've gone, where there are opinions were taken into consideration. But how long really can it take to kind of do complete a review like this? It's ridiculous.
And the numbers that came tonight, I'm sure, were you surprised with the amount, or did you know that this was such a widespread issue within Rathcoffey and Strafford? Because parents are concerned, and understandably so.
Yeah, well, there could have been more here tonight, because there's 73 current ticket holders on the route. We have another 27, is it? Looking for a ticket. So we could have had up to 100 parents here tonight. And obviously, it's a cold and wet night, and people have obligations and small kids and work obligations and stuff, so we were never going to get everybody. But it was a really good representation here tonight of, you know, it showed kind of the demand that's there and the levels of frustration and stress I think this is causing.
Okay, and Anne-Marie, just to finish up then, where do you go from here? I know there's talk maybe of setting up a committee. You've had commitments from various TDs and public representatives. They're going to raise it with Norma Foley again. What do you think is kind of a workable time frame from your point of view? Obviously, immediately is what you'd want, but where do you go from now? What's your plan as parents and, you know, concerned residents?
Well, obviously, we will be setting up this committee and we'll be following up with all of our public representatives as to what they have done for us. And we'll be organising a follow-up meeting shortly to see what results we're getting.
Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless, you've been listening to the concerns of the residents here. Is it an easy fix if we look at this area in isolation? I know obviously there's wider issues at play here, but the easy fix seems to be put on another bus in the Rathcoffey and Strafford area.
Yeah, so look, I listened to the room tonight. It's a very packed room, a lot of very concerned parents. And unfortunately, the school bus system is an extremely torturous, convoluted one. And it probably goes back to a day when all these villages and towns had much less population than they do now, and the rules in place that say you must go from this village to this town, and people have different patterns now, different movements, and they go, you know, don't necessarily go to the closest school, they might go to another school for all sorts of reasons. And I suppose the whole system needs a root and branch reform, which the minister has committed to and has initiated. But if I'm being a little bit cynical, I met with Minister John Halligan going back 4 or 5 years ago to also ask for a root and branch reform of the Kildare area and the wider area. And he said it would be done. And here we are in 2023 and it's not in place yet. I suppose the specifics of the issue tonight are around Rathcoffey and Strafford students getting to school principally in Maynooth, but there are some other, I suppose, schools in the mix as well. And one of the points I made in the meeting tonight is that I've always felt that Strafford and Rathcoffey probably are at the poor edge of public transport in general, because I sort of fall betwixt and between. They're not on the M7, they're not on the M4, and I personally would love to see a much better service all around.
That's public transport. Private transport, though, how easy is it or how feasible is it to put another bus on in this area?
So I suppose the reason I mentioned the public transport is one parent, for example, suggested that the 139 bus, which is a new service out there a couple of years, if it was slightly tweaked, could cater for some of the school children. To put another bus on here, there's nothing stopping any group of parents, if they wish to, I suppose, clubbing together, and some places do that already as a sort of private enterprise. I think probably the preference, and I would totally agree and understand it, would be that the department and the authorities would organise it. But people have made clear tonight very fairly that they don't mind paying a certain charge. You know, nobody's saying we want an absolutely free service. Parents are saying, look, if it's a small fee or a reasonable fee that's affordable, we'll happily pay it. That's a message I'm going to take back to the minister. I'll be meeting the minister on Wednesday night this week on this issue. I've raised it with her before. I said to the meeting tonight, it gives me the ammunition that I'm not just going in saying, James Lawless is saying this, and a few phone calls are saying this. I'm saying I've been at a packed meeting and the parents really want action. And that, I suppose, that helps me to help them. So I said that to the room as well, and I'll be making that point very strongly to Norma Foley on Wednesday night.
This is a historical issue that's been going on. It's not new that it's just come about this year, but it has been highlighted this year by the announcement that was made by Minister Norma Foley in July regarding the free bus ticket for students. In hindsight, did government get it wrong?
I think it was done with good intentions, and I suppose there is a policy objective there that getting people out of cars onto sustainable public transport and bus transport. I think it probably they were overloaded, and really that should have been predictable. You know, it's not that surprising that people would take up a free service. This way the system is designed, just for any of your listeners that don't know how it works, any child or any family that qualifies, usually on sort of a means test for a place, will be guaranteed a place every year. The issue comes in with what's called concessionary places. So once the bus is full with students who qualify under the means test, then there's a second round if there's 3 or 4 or 10 places in the back of the bus, and there's kind of a lottery. And that's what's being oversubscribed tonight and in lots of other places like this. So the question is, does the completely free service mean it's completely inundated and just can't cope? But I even remember my own children going from Silence to Nace on the school bus, and every year the struggles to try to, was there a place, was there not a place, the lottery system, and then you'd be finding out in July, August. And people need to make decisions around working arrangements, around alternative childcare. You know, the whole family is kind of on tenterhooks. And really the whole system is in need of revamp, and people should know through a decent online system 6 months ahead of school starting, not 6 days every year.
So has a lesson been learnt over the last kind of 8-9 months when you see the fallout not only here in Kildare but nationally, and do you think those same mistakes are going to be made for the next school year?
I certainly hope the mistakes can be avoided, but I suppose one thing I'd say, I think a lesson has been learnt. I think the government did something with very positive intentions, and look at this cost of living crisis, people are under pressure, school books, you know, the free school books was announced around the same time, the minister saying, look, what can we give people back in terms of helping them in their pockets and taking some of those pressures off, and that was a really noble goal, but unfortunately the workings through of that have been that the buses are full, and then there's more parents left behind and frustrated than there are happy because their child got on the bus, and I suppose that's not a good outcome for anybody.
That's Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, James Lawless, speaking last night at that public meeting in Freels in Strathan. And we just got a message in from Rhéda Cronin, Sinn Féin TD for the same constituency, saying the Rathcoffey Strathan school bus situation is an easy problem to solve. We're not talking rocket science here. An extra bus is the only and very easy solution. This lack of public school transport is having a huge impact on constituents' private and personal lives, and there was a commitment from the four TDs in the building last night, James Lawless, Rhéda Cronin, Catherine Murphy and Bernard Durkin, that they would all raise it again with Norma Foley. A Green Party Senator, Vincent P. Martin, was going to try and organise a meeting with parents to have with the Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan. So again, any more updates that we get on that, we'll bring it to you here on KFM. And Fine Gael Councillor Tim Durkin joins me on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, how are you?
Good, we got a message in this morning. I know you were at that meeting last night in Freels, and we've covered that, but Dominic just said, when you have Tim Durkin on, would you ask for an update on the installation of the footpath from Rathcoffey GAA up to Painstown filling station and the shops? It was supposed to have gone to tender 6 months ago. Thanks in advance, says Dominic. Any update on that, Tim?
Yeah, so I put forward a project previously last year to the NTA for a footpath essentially from Painstown filling station to round the corner off the main road and up to the GAA club. I have made numerous requests about this. There's a number of projects that are now on hold for some reason. We haven't found out yet why, that project being one of them. Another one in Newtown and another one in Maynooth, or two in Maynooth rather. So I've requested details to find out what the actual issue is, because one, there's a safety concern there. It's the only shop in Rathcoffey. And the main point, or the main centre, one of the main centres in Rathcoffey is the GAA Club. And if we're promoting active travel, and if the GAA Club is full of games on a Saturday or Sunday or a weekday for training, and someone wants to get a drink or go into the local shop, they have to get in their car and drive because it's not safe to do so. So I know Dominic quite well. It was raised at the last meeting by one of my colleagues, Councillor Brendan Weld. So once I get an answer back out to the NTA, I will come back to you on that then.
Okay, some of the other issues that you have been raising with the council, are they going to extend the right turning filter lane on the Strathan Road and at Maynooth? I think this is around the Meadowbrook Road junction.
Yes, this is coming out of Maynooth, turning right onto the Meadowbrook Road. So one side of the council, in the report, says no, and the other side have said yes, they will. So essentially, the right turning filter lane on the Strathan Road going out of Maynooth will be extended. It can only be extended by a certain amount of cars because there's a right turning filter lane going in the opposite direction, turning into Carton Court. So what you don't want to see is two cars entering the filter lane head to head. So it'll get probably three, possibly an extra four spaces in that filter lane. But that again will increase the capacity to get cars through the junction. There was also an issue with the lights, the timing of the lights, particularly the right turning filter light. And what was actually happening was people were going straight through the junction, going into Circle K petrol station, doing a U-turn and coming back the far side of the junction and turning left then to go up to Meadowbrook Road, which in itself reduces the capacity of the junction completely. So the filter lane will be installed in the next couple of weeks. and they're going to monitor the filter light to see what exactly the problem is, because it doesn't seem to be, I've had numerous complaints about that, that it seems to kind of go, just stay on red for a considerable period of time. It's not letting cars through the junction.
Okay, are we going to see additional bus bays installed at the Girls National School in Maynooth?
We are indeed. The area engineer has confirmed that he will. This is something I've looked for quite some time. There are two to three bus bays right at the gate of the school. What you wouldn't want to see from a road safety perspective is that you'd put bus bays on either side of the road, because that creates a huge amount of congestion and kids popping out between buses. It wouldn't be a safe thing to do. So the option is, when you go around the corner, there were a number of parking bays taken out during COVID to allow for social distancing for people to walk on footpaths. Some of those are going to be have bus bays reinstalled into them. So there'll be two bus bays going in there in the coming weeks. And then the buses that now have no space to park, which are currently parked out the Dunboyne Road, will come in to those two bus bays, keeping the children on one side of the road and keeping them safe. Get them onto the bus and get them home.
Okay, we were talking there before the break about the Maynooth Education Campus. I was at that meeting last night. I spoke to some of the parents afterwards, and there were a number of public representatives there as well. What's your view on that, firstly, Tim? Is it a simple fix of just putting another bus on for the parents of Strafford and Rathcoffey?
Quite simply, yes. One bus for Strafford, one bus for Rathcoffey would make the most sense to my mind. If you look at the intake policies for the schools and the policy for getting onto a seat on the bus, they contradict each other essentially. So that needs to be streamlined. There is a review going on for a huge length of time at this stage, which we're being told is going to conclude quite soon. But that needs to happen in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
For some meaningful answers, like, there was 80 people there last night at least.
Yeah.
And they were rightfully annoyed. Because if we're serious about climate change, if we're serious about getting children safely to school, the simple answer is to put a second bus on, one for Rathcoffey, one for Strafford, and that solves the problem. So one of the points I made at the meeting last night was that the minister should meet a deputation of maybe five parents to explain in detail the problems and to come forward with solutions. The solution is one extra bus, one for Strafford, one for Rathcoffey.
Okay, and at that school, Maynooth Education Campus, you wanted the sight lines to be improved. Briefly on that, are they going to be improved?
Yes, they are. It's already been done. So if anyone knows the far extremity of the site, you have Anne's Bridge, which is the county boundary, essentially, with the Roy River. And coming out of the two entrances into that school campus, essentially, there's the one from Moidlair Hall, which is the main road, and then there's another entrance and exit further up closer to the county boundary. So the council have cut the grass before the and trimmed back the hedge before the tree cutting deadline, and that has alleviated the sightline issue there.
Okay.
It's a difficult area because of the way the road turns when it goes into County Meath. It's a little bit of a blind spot, so that has improved that greatly.
Finally then, Tim, what's the timeline for the Kilcock local area plan?
Unfortunately, there isn't one, and it's essentially, when it comes to Kildare County Council, the new County Development Plan, which has been adopted but is now being judicially reviewed, and numerous local area plans in the county. Unfortunately, a lot of them fell or ran out of time around the same period. So there was a huge amount of local area plans that ran out of time, Maynooth being one, Kilcock being another, Kildare Town, Newbridge, Plain will be not far behind in terms of its end date. So no is the answer. They didn't give an answer as to when they could bring the Kilcock local area plan forward. The point I made was, can we not stagger the timings of local area plans and maybe make a short plan for one or two of the smaller towns so they don't end up coming to the end of the life cycle at the same time as numerous other plans in the county. I think for the planning department to try and manage five or six local area plans and a county plan all at the same time is difficult in itself. Now, there is new legislation being proposed which could see the local area plans being abolished and a county plan being the only plan that would be operated in the county and would have detailed sections for large towns that would have had formerly local area plans. That hasn't been adopted in the Oireachtas yet, hasn't been signed into law, so we'll have to see what that looks like once it has been.
All right, that's Fine Gael councillor on the Clanmunith Municipal District, Tim Durkin, with those local issues. Thanks for joining us, Tim.